Let's say our heads in prayer. Loving Father, as we come to worship you this morning, we pray that through the course of this service, you will speak into each and every one of our hearts, whether that's through the prayers, whether it's through the liturgy itself, or the hymns, or the readings, or indeed anything that I may say now. Lord, we're looking to hear your voice, to hear your words, and to have the faith to act on them. So, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a verse from the Gospel reading. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" You know, that's verse 46 from Luke 6. And in my Bible, the subtitle for this particular passage is Wise and Foolish Builders. There's a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 24 to 27. And in Matthew's version, there is a slightly different emphasis, but quite significant in its own way, because in Matthew's version, the difference there is in the choice of ground in which the person chooses to build, whether it's sand or whether it's rock. And in Luke, as we've just read, we see that it's slightly different. It's the same ground, but in one case, the building is set on strong foundations, which themselves are set on rock, whereas the other building has no foundations. And it doesn't take me to emphasize the point of having strong foundations. We see it with our own properties and so on, and the building regulations which are in place in our country, which in new buildings ensure that the foundations are of a particular depth. That can even vary once the building inspector comes along and insists that they're dug another 2 feet down, as it was in our case, in our bungalow. And it's done for a very good reason, because unless the foundations are absolutely firm, the building which is constructed over it can become very shaky. It needs firm foundations. Now, that's something we all need. We all know about. But Jesus says something to the folk of his time. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" See, the passage isn't actually about wise and foolish builders so much as the question which Jesus puts to them. In other words, what he's actually asking them is, look, you call me Lord, and yet your actions say something different. And to put that in modern speak, Jesus is saying to them, you talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. Something which we are very keen to level at our politicians. But Jesus is saying it to people like us. You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. And I'm hoping this morning that we will perhaps get a little bit of a better grasp on how this actually might apply to us and our situation today. Each Christmas, I go to a reunion dinner of my former colleagues in British Gas. I remember 2 years ago, one of my former colleagues coming up to me after the dinner, when we were just chatting, and saying to me, "Do you think the Christian church is finished?" It was an interesting question, and knowing the person, I understood it in slightly different terms as, "Do I think Christianity is finished?" And naturally enough, I said very firmly, "No." But as we went home, I thought about it a little bit more, about the actual question asked, "Do I think the Christian church is finished?" And I would have to say, I don't know. I have no doubt that in 50, 100 years' time, God willing, the Christian church will still be there. It may not be the Church of England. It may not be the Roman Catholic Church or the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church. But there will be a family of Christians who call themselves church, perhaps, who will be worshipping God, and who will still be there and being church where they are. I want to ask you some questions, very simple questions. I do want an answer, please. Probably most of us have lived in this area for some time. So tell me, in the last 50 years, has the population in Elmswell increased or decreased? Increased, yeah? Okay. So let's move a bit further away. What about Woolpit in the last 50 years? Do you think the population in Woolpit has increased or decreased? Right. If we go to the Rough and Benefice, where we were once in ministry, do you think in Rough and Bates and Hesed and Rushbrook, the population has increased or decreased? Increased, it has. And we could look at Bury St Edmunds, and I'll ask you the same question, and you'll give me the same answer, it's increased. But if I ask you about church membership, Anglican church membership, in the last 50 years, in Elmswell, has it increased or decreased? Decreased, you think? I wouldn't know, I'm not old enough. Sorry. Okay, possibly decreased 50 years ago, from what it was 50 years ago. And if I went through exactly the same lot with Woolpit, with Bury St Edmunds, Ruffham, and with the country as a whole, let me ask you, in the country, in the UK, has the population increased or decreased in the last 50 years? Increased considerably. And as far as church membership and attendance is concerned, in the Anglican Church again, Church of England, what has happened there? It has decreased, it certainly has. And this diocese is a little example of that. When I first came into this diocese in 1984, there were over 216 full-time clergy. We are now running at 116. We've almost halved. And that's a reflection in each of the churches in this diocese as to how church membership has been. And it's the same throughout the country. And it begs a question, doesn't it? Why? Why is that happening, do you think? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that perhaps one reason for that is contained in the passage which we had this morning in our Gospel reading. You know that, Luke 6 and verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Last weekend, I received, well, before the weekend, on the Thursday, I received a call from a chap called Dave Gardner, and who is the Fresh Expressions facilitator in this diocese. I think he has also other titles as well, one of them perhaps being diocesan missioner. But Dave took over from me at St. John's Woodbridge, and subsequently has taken up this diocesan post. And he said, "You know, I'm sorry to phone you, but I've got a problem. I wonder if you can help me. We're running a course over the weekend. One of the facilitators on this course has not been able to come. I was wondering whether you could come tomorrow Saturday as well to help us out." And I did. And I'm glad I did. And it's a course which the diocese are piloting. Got its usual sort of semi-glossy brochure, and it's on Germinate groups. It's flourishing rural multi-church ministry. It's designed particularly for rural churches who have more than one parish. So it's a multi-parish benefice, in other words, in technical terms. And I was asked to help one particular group. There were four there in total, each with their own facilitator, and from different parts of the diocese. And we worked through various exercises in our groups. And one of the exercises was bringing out problems in each church, in each benefice. And it was quite interesting once everything had been pulled together and each group put up their results on the board, how similar they all were. Dwindling congregations, elderly congregations, congregations with no energy, and so on. They were remarkably similar. Churches running with congregations of 10 or slightly more if they were lucky, but quite often less than 10. Why? Well, that's what we're endeavouring to find out in these groups. The aim is for the groups to help each other too. And we'll be meeting over 2 years to try and help and improve that situation. But I have no doubt that at the bottom of it will lie the question which Jesus puts. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I ask you? If I were dictator, I would insist that every church had a vision stroke mission statement based on St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 5. "For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. We do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Part of our problem is that we don't know what we're in business for. And if you don't believe me, I challenge you to ask amongst yourselves at the appropriate point, not now, what do you think the mission of the church is? And I can guarantee that as many people are here, you'll get as many different answers. And it'll be the same in every church, pretty well. You need to have a clear vision of what God is calling you into, such as the one that St. Paul has and talks to the church at Corinth about. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. And if you then look at how you fit into that, each church, how does or how is each church proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord? Or alternatively, are they rather proclaiming at the moment something else? Are they proclaiming actually that disunity is Lord? Are they proclaiming that gossiping is Lord? Are they proclaiming that meanness is Lord? You know, I could go on, and you could think of all sorts of things as well. I'm sure we don't mean to do that. But quite often that is what we proclaim. And you could refine that and say, well, do we proclaim that so we're a social group? And there's nothing wrong with being social, I can assure you. But first and foremost, it has to be through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as Lord. And each church needs to start proclaiming that. Do you know, I'm so fed up when I hear on Thought for the Day, which I listen to usually each day, Christian leaders, bishops in the Church of England and others, who come on for Thought for the Day and don't mention Jesus and don't mention God, but will talk about some political or social issue. Now, the church should be involved in social issues and in politics, but not at the expense of Jesus or God the Father. It gives a message which says, actually for me, doing the talk, Jesus Christ is not Lord. That social issues are, that something else is. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do as I ask? The church can turn around, even in the smallest rural parish. But it can only do so by accepting that Jesus Christ is Lord and showing it, doing it in the things that they do and that they are. And you know, folks, I've been talking about churches, but it actually applies on an individual basis. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you to your words. Thank you that because you love us, you also bring into our minds and hearts areas in our lives where we let you down. Thank you for that. And Lord, we would want to be your people in the way that you always intended us to be, so that we might be lights for you in the places where you have put us, and our churches in you might be a beacon of hope for a broken world. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Richard, for those challenging words. We have some welcome leaflets as you come in. And on the welcome leaflets, it says, St. John's, our aim is... Anybody know what the rest of it says? Our aim is to... know Christ and make him known. That is what the church is about. And when I first became a Christian, I joined a church that in the 1960s had 6 members. And when I joined, there were hundreds, and it's continued to grow. And that's St. Helens in London. And why did it grow? Because week by week, they opened up the Bible and trusted it as the Word of God and proclaimed that Christ is Lord. And I got to know other friends at All Souls Lying in Place, where the great John Stott used to preach. And again, he said, the Bible is the Word of God. We need to preach it and proclaim Jesus is Lord. And then slightly different kind of slant, Holy Trinity Brompton, growing massively and huge, the home of Alpha. Again, we'll focus on the Holy Spirit's work, but again, proclaiming Jesus is Lord. And I think when the church does that, that's when we see growth. So our aim is to know Christ and make him known. Thank you, Richard. And every blessing with your work in that rural benefice. We're going to sing again now. We have our offertory hymn, and we're going to sing number 746, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.